Head to your seat. I don't know if all you guys know this, but they had wipes that you could clean that makeup off if you want to, but I see some of y'all still gonna rock it. That's okay. You do you. CA students, it is good to see you guys, man. You guys ever been away from home for a long time, and then finally you get home, and how good it just feels to be back in your place with your people? You guys know that feeling? I feel that right now, being back with you guys. I just gotta say that. It's so good to be back. As many of you know, I led the student ministries here for over 6 years. Just a joy and honor of my life to get to do that. And this last summer, my role transitioned. I stepped out of student ministries, handed it off to Jake and to the team, who's just doing such a great job. I just want to give just a quick update. I'm doing very well. Things are going great at Fusion. Blake is doing well. Our two babies are doing good. Austin's two in like a week, and I can't handle it. My mind can't comprehend the fact that my daughter's going to be 2 years old. Sheppy boy, our shepherd, he's doing real good too. He's like 10 months or something like that. And Flora's family is doing really well. I just want to say that I kind of feel like the Apostle Paul in some way, which sounds like a really big thing to say about myself, but I'll explain this in a minute. I'm like so close with God, you guys. No, Paul was this guy who, he started churches all over the place, and then he would start a church, and then God would move him on from that church. He would change his assignment and send him to a new place, and Paul would find some worthy leaders to rise up and to take leadership over that community, and then Paul would head on. And then in a lot of his letters back to those churches, Paul would write, and he would say, listen, I've heard about how well you are doing. I've heard about how much you're loving Jesus. I've heard about how you're serving each other, how you're loving each other. I just want to say well done on that. And CA students, let me just tell you, I've heard about how much you're loving Jesus. I've heard about how well you're serving others. I've heard about how well you're loving each other. I just want to say well done on that. My pastor's heart is so happy when I hear updates about you guys. So stay after it. Keep doing the things that you guys are being led to do by your pastors, by your leaders, and ultimately by God. See, students, I feel like I have a word for you tonight. I feel like God gave me something that he wants you to hear. And the reason I feel that way is because for weeks I have been on my face before God, begging him, saying, God, would you give me something that you want your people to hear tonight? And I believe I have something that God wants you to hear. And I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to give you everything I got tonight, but you have to have ears that are open to hear it. Are you in? Are you guys ready to hear what God has to say to you tonight? Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it is alive, that it is active, that when we read it and when we apply it to our lives by your Holy Spirit, we are changed people. So we pray that you would change us tonight. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak. God, would we hear your voice? In your name we pray. Amen. We're continuing in this series, How to Church. Reach under your chair if you haven't already. Grab that handout and pen. That's for you to fill out over the course of our time together. When the team invited me to speak in this series and to speak in this How to Church series, I immediately began to think to myself, what are the things that make church different than all the other places and all the other social settings and all the other groups that you can belong to? There's a lot of different things you can be doing. There's teams that you can be on. There's clubs that you can be a part of. There's social settings you can be in. There's a lot of ways that you can spend your Wednesday evenings. But what makes this place different than all the rest? And listen, CA students, it's so important that you understand this now. That you get this into your mind and you get this into your heart today. Because for some of you right now, you're here because your friends are here. Or you're here because your parents really, really, really want you to be here, right? So you go, because it's not worth the fight for some of you. But there's a day coming very soon for you where church is going to be a total option for you. No one's going to make you come to church. And you need to decide now, ahead of time, why does church matter? Why does it matter that I am a part of this place? What is different about church than all of the other things I can be doing with my time, than all of the other groups I can be a part of? As I was thinking about what makes church so different, there was one obvious thing that stood out to me. This is a Jesus place. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then you are a Jesus person. Now listen, I recognize not everybody in this room is a follower of Jesus. And if you haven't yet decided to commit your life to Jesus, if you haven't yet decided to be forgiven of your sins and start the new life that he has for you, I just want to say, you are welcome in this place. We are so glad that you are here. Keep coming. Keep being a part of it. But listen, I don't want to be subtle about this. I don't want to hide this. Our hope is that you would say yes to Jesus. Our hope is that you would take him up on the offer that he has for you. Because friend, listen, the offer that Jesus has for you is a good offer. It is a kind offer. It is an offer that leads you to life. I'm about to do a salvation opportunity at the beginning of my talk. Listen, he's got something for you. Say yes to him. This is a Jesus place, and we are Jesus people. And being a follower of Jesus is a commitment. It's a commitment on your part to do everything you can to be as much like Jesus as you possibly can. And listen, this is a lifelong journey. I haven't yet achieved it. Your pastors haven't yet achieved it. Your leaders haven't yet achieved it. I know you haven't yet achieved it, but thank God we're on our way, right? He works with us on this. But if you want to be like Jesus, it's so important that we go to the Word and that we learn, what is Jesus like? And I want to read and jump off tonight with one of my favorite descriptions of who Jesus is. It comes from John chapter 1, verse 14. Here's what it says. It says, the Word became flesh. And some of you are like, I thought we were talking about Jesus. Well, what is this Word? Listen, in John, Word is a description of Jesus. He is the Word. He is the Word. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1 is the Christmas story from heaven's point of view. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm going to say that again, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. I want you to know that. Full of grace and truth. It's so important that we understand that in this statement, full of grace and truth, that word full, it applies to both grace and to truth. Full of grace and full of truth. You see, he wasn't full of grace with a little dollop of truth on top. He wasn't 50% grace and 50% truth. No, he is full of grace and full of truth. And listen, it is so important that there's both. It's so important that there's both. Pastor Chris Hodges, an amazing pastor from Alabama, he says this. He says, truth without grace is mean, and grace without truth is meaningless. But grace and truth together is good medicine. Man, that's good. That's not even my stuff, and that's preaching really good right now. That is. Truth without grace is meaning, and grace without truth is meaningless. There's a pastor named Chad Veach, who some of us listen to and are so, we just are developed by him. We just look up to him so much. And Pastor Chad says that grace is not a principle. Grace is a person, and his name is Jesus. You see, Jesus embodies grace, but he also embodies truth. He has both, and so do we. And so write this down, that first point for you to fill in. We are people of grace and truth. How to church? Grace and truth. I want to look at a story of how Jesus does both of these things at the same time, because I'm going to be honest, I wish it were one or the other that we were called to be. It's hard to be both. But I love this story of how Jesus lives out both of these. John chapter 8, starting in verse 2, says this. At dawn, he went to the temple again, and all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, making her stand in the center. Teacher, they said to him, this woman was caught in the act of committing adultery. And the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say? They asked this to trap him in order that they might have evidence to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground with his finger. When they persisted in questioning him, he stood up and said to them, "The one without sin among you should be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he stooped down again and continued writing in the ground. When they heard this, they left one by one, starting with the older men. Only he was left with the woman in the center. Jesus stood up and he said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Lord," she answered. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus. "Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." I love this story so much. I love this story, I think, for three main reasons. One, it reminds me of who I don't want to be. The second is it reminds me of who I am. And the third is it reminds me of who I want to be someday. So there's three things we're going to learn on how to church from this story. Number one, write this down. Don't be the crowd. Don't be the crowd. Do you ever notice that the church can have a tendency to want to expose and discuss other people's sins, other people's struggles, other people's situations, while at the same time completely ignoring the fact that they have struggles of their own and they're just kind of hoping nobody brings them up? You ever notice this? I remember when I was in college, we were having a chapel, and I went to a Bible college out in San Dimas, and during one chapel, it was a specifically topic chapel about a very sensitive subject. And during this chapel, there was a time for Q&A, and this guy stood up, and he asked a very exposing question of himself. You ever been in a situation where somebody stands up, and they ask a question, and it like lets everybody in the room know about something that they struggle with or something going on in their life, and they ask this question, and you're just like, "I wouldn't have asked that in front of all these people," but like, you do you, man. So he asked this really exposing question, and we were all just like, "Oh, this is awkward. I know what you deal with now." And as we left the chapel, conversation just started among all of us as students. And we were just talking, "Can you believe he asked that? Can you believe he struggles with that? Man," and now we know like the depth that kind of struggle that he has. And conversation started happening, discussion started happening, jokes started being made, nicknames started being given of this guy. And I wish I could say that I didn't participate in any of it, but I was there in the middle of it, but I remember the moment that it hit me. This is this guy's struggle. I don't know if we should be talking about this like this. I don't know if we should be making jokes about this guy this way. I don't think we should be labeling this guy according to this thing that he struggles with. Think about the situation of this woman. It says she's caught in the act of adultery. She's caught having sex with a man who is not her husband. I don't know if she was married to somebody else. I don't know if he was married to somebody else. But they were not married to each other. And they were having sex. And she is ripped from that moment right then. She probably wasn't given time to fully dress. Maybe she was able to grab a robe. Maybe she was able to grab a sheet. But she certainly wasn't able to dress in the way that a woman would normally dress to go out in public at that time. And she is dragged through the streets. And after being paraded through the streets, she is thrown down before Jesus, completely exposed. And there's so much injustice in this story. Where is the man that she was sleeping with? He's not dragged through the street. He's not paraded in shame in front of everybody. He gets to remain anonymous. He might have even been a part of the crowd. He might have been holding a stone. But here is this woman, caught in sin, completely laid out before Jesus. And here is this self-righteous, angry mob calling for her death. But what they were really trying to do is trap Jesus. You see, they knew that Jesus knew that the law of Moses, the law they followed, said she should be killed. She should be executed for this. But they also knew that Jesus knew that the law of Rome, the people who ran the city at the time, they said only Rome can decide who dies. There was no right choice for Jesus. Anybody thankful that Jesus isn't limited to the choices that we give him sometimes? He sees a third way. You see, this group, they didn't have a heart for justice. They didn't have a heart for healing. They didn't have a heart to see this woman forgiven and redeemed and restored. They had a heart for humiliation. They had a heart to see her exposed. CA students, don't you be like this crowd. It's so easy for us to fall into this trap. And listen, I know we don't parade each other through the streets with a laptop held up saying, look at this browser history. Look at what this person's looking at. We don't march somebody up front here with a cell phone saying, look at these pictures they're taking and sending. But we do that when we have conversations with each other. We do that in a group text. Can you believe them? Did you know what I heard? Did you hear this too? Guess what I found out? And without realizing it, we become more like the crowd in this story than like Jesus. Jesus said, let him who is without sin throw the first stone. And if that was true then it's true for us. And let me tell you, there will be no stones thrown in this room, especially from this stage. So don't be like the crowd. Don't be quick to label people because of their sin, to discuss somebody else's struggle. Number two way we can learn how to church. Remember, we are that woman. Remember that we are that woman. You see, the best way for us to ensure that we don't become the crowd is for us to remember that every single one of us, we have sin in our story. We have sin in our lives as well. Romans 3 tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. I don't have to work very hard to think about sin and struggle in my life. And thank God for mercy. Thank God for forgiveness. But there are some things that I would hate to be publicly broadcast for everybody to know about. Anybody else? Just me? Okay, I'm the only one here. That's fine. This woman is you. And this woman is me. But thank God for mercy. Thank God for a Savior who defends us against people who are accusing us. Thank God for a Savior who shields us against what other people might say against us. Thank God for a Savior who says, your identity is not in what you have done, and your identity is not in what they say about you. Your identity is in what I have done for you, and your identity is in what I say about you. You are forgiven. You are righteous. You are made new. Thank God for that Savior. And when we remember that we are this woman, it causes us to have so much more compassion, so much more understanding for people and their struggles in this room, doesn't it? It makes us say, if a person like me can come here and worship, if a person like me can come here and find community, if a person like me can come here and find healing, there's room for you here as well. That's how you church. And listen, it's not that as a church, we don't need to constantly remind ourselves, oh, I'm that woman. Oh, I'm such a sinner. Oh, I'm just so messed up all the time. No, it's not that we have to live life looking in our rearview mirror. But there's something so important for us as a church, as a people of God, to remember we are not perfect. So don't be the crowd. Remember that we are that woman. And the third way we can learn how to church, number three, receive grace and truth and give grace and truth. Receive grace and truth and give grace and truth. The first thing we have to do is receive it. You can't give something if you have not received something. And so listen, when you realize, yes, I am that woman caught in sin. I am that person who is flawed and broken. The very next thing that you need to do is to run to grace. Run to his grace. Listen, the only person in this story able to throw a stone didn't. He had mercy on her, and he has mercy on you, and he has mercy on me. Have you made some mistakes? There's grace for you. Have you completely blown it? There's grace for you. Have you gone back to that thing that you said you wouldn't go back to again and again and again? There's grace for you. Run to his grace and then walk in his truth. In verse 11, he says to the woman, neither do I condemn you. There's grace. And then he goes on to say, go. And from now on, sin no more. This is truth right here. He came full of grace. Neither do I condemn you. And he came full of truth. What you're doing will destroy you. You need to live differently. Our world is such a big fan of neither do I condemn you. We love it. We love to be about you do you, and I'll do me. You live your life. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to cast any stones at you. You just live however you want to live. But Jesus, he brought truth as well. There is a standard for how we as followers of Christ are called to live. And I'm not saying that we should put Christian standards on people who are not yet followers of Jesus. But listen, if you are a follower of Jesus, and if you read the Bible, and if you read the New Testament, and if you come to the conclusion that Jesus doesn't really care how you live your life, I would argue you have grossly misunderstood the gospel. But listen, this is important. And Aiden, you can join me up here. Look at the order of how these two things come. He came full of what? Grace and truth. Grace and truth. He says to the woman, neither do I condemn you. That's grace. And then he says to her, now go and sin no more. That's truth. But listen, grace comes first. Always. You are forgiven before you ever start to get your act together. The grace that he has for you has nothing to do with whether or not you will live up to it. Because if you can live up to it, it's not grace. It's not grace. But if you're like me, you may be left thinking when you hear this, does this mean I can just sin and sin and sin and I'll just continue to be forgiven because of grace? I heard a pastor recently named Levi Lusco talk about this. And he said, yes, theologically, according to the Bible, you will be forgiven of sin. But did nobody tell you that Jesus would rather bless you and use you than forgive you? See, students, you have a kingdom calling on your life. You have an eternal impact that you were designed to walk into. But sin is always and always and always going to cause you to miss out on the blessing and purpose that God has for your life. When you're so addicted to something, you're so wrapped up in pornography that your mind is becoming twisted and you can't even think straight anymore, you're not going to see the plan that God has for you. When you're drunk or you're high all the time, you're going to miss the people God is sending you, saying, I want you to love this person in my name. I want you to bring this person to church. I want you to preach to this person about you. And listen, what I said that Levi said about yes, you will be forgiven. This is not license to sin. Romans talks about it. Paul says, where sin abounds, grace abounds more. So therefore, should I sin more so I can receive more grace? Of course not. That is absurd. Yes, he will forgive you. But he would rather pour out blessing and purpose on you than have to forgive you for the things that you choose to do. God is not running short of grace, but he's also not running short of purpose and of blessing that he has for you. He doesn't just have a little bit of blessing for you, CA students. He doesn't just have a little bit of purpose for you. You weren't designed to just have a little bit of impact in this world. He doesn't have small plans for you, CA students. 1 Corinthians 2, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart can comprehend the things God has prepared for those who love him. He has such a big plan for you. He has such a big purpose for you. He has a plan, a God-sized plan, that's so big that someday after you live a life faithful to him, and I believe you will, when you live a life faithful to him, you're going to turn around and say, God must have done that because there is no way that I could have done these things on my own. But to walk in that plan, to walk in that blessing, we must walk in both grace and truth. You do not get to live however you want and walk in the purpose of God. there have been seasons of my life where I have ignored walking in God's truth. I've ignored the fact that I am living in ways that are not pleasing to God. I am doing things that are outside of His plan for me. There's been seasons of my life that that's been true for me. And in those seasons, grace has always been there for me. Thank you, Jesus. But what's also true is in those seasons, I have been missing out on the purpose that God has for me. I have not been walking in His purpose. I have not been walking in His plan. I have not been walking in the power that He has for me. I have not been walking in the authority that He has for me. You want to walk in the power of God, CA students? Rest in His grace and then walk in the truth of how He calls you to live. And then we can give that to others. And then we can tell others about the grace of Jesus. And then we can lovingly point others to the truth of Scripture, of how followers of Jesus are called to live. And listen, sharing God's truth does not mean throwing stones. I know there's times people will be like, hey, listen, man, you're talking to me about stuff that's a part of my life, not yours. I feel like you're throwing stones at me. No, no, no. You can speak truth without throwing stones. Remember, Jesus was full of truth and He threw no stones. You can speak the truth in love to each other. When we receive grace and when we walk in truth, that is how we become people of grace and truth. And then others come in desperate need of grace, needing somebody to lovingly point them to truth. And then others come in need of grace, in need of truth. And this is how the church has thrived for thousands of years. You want to know how to church? Be a people of grace and truth. Aiden's going to lead us in some worship for the next couple of minutes. And in just a minute, we're going to have leaders spread out around the room. In fact, can we stand up together? I want to talk to two different people in this moment. There are some of you in this room right now. When Aiden starts leading worship and when your leaders are available around the room, you need to go to them and you need to go receive some grace. It's not that you're going to be receiving it from that leader, but they're going to be telling you about the grace Jesus has for you. There are some people in this room, man, you are a follower of Jesus, but you're in some stuff and you feel full of shame. You feel full of guilt. You just feel like you are not aware of the grace that Jesus has for you right now. When we begin to worship together, I want you to go and talk to a leader and they're going to tell you about the grace of Jesus. There might even be some of you, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. You've never made a decision to put your trust in Him, to receive His grace for the first time. If that is you, I want you to go and talk to one of the leaders or pastors in this moment. Don't miss out on that. Some of you need to go and receive some grace. There's others, you know there's stuff that you're wrapped up in and you don't know how to get out of this thing. You need to go to a leader. You need to receive some truth. It's going to come in love. It's going to come through the heart of Jesus. But they're going to tell you, this thing, I know you're already aware of it, this thing is destroying you. You need freedom from this. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to help you with this. I'm going to walk with you through this. Listen, do not take for granted the wisdom that is in this room of your leaders. Proverbs 20 tells us that counsel in the heart of a person, that wisdom in the heart of a person, is like a deep well. And a person of understanding knows how to draw it out, meaning your leaders have wisdom for you, CA students. And if you are a person of understanding, if you're not a dum-dum, then you'll know how to go to them and say, I need some wisdom in this area. So Aiden's going to lead us. And as he does, go receive some grace, go receive some truth. Of course, you can go and pray about anything else that you have going on in your life. But if as I've been preaching, there's been something stirring in you, I do not want you to stand still. Go and meet with a leader. Aiden, will you lead us?
Sing like this. Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come?
CA students, thank you for letting me come and come home for an evening, come and be with you guys tonight. I'm going to conclude in just a minute. When I do, just a couple quick reminders. The Dressember team, you guys are going to meet right over here on the side of the room, right over here. Leaders going to Fall Retreat, you're going to meet over there as well for your guys' meeting. CA students, as you guys leave tonight, leave aware of the grace that he has for you. It is sufficient for you. It is enough for you. That person in the room who says, I've got too many sins, there can't be enough grace. His grace is sufficient for you. Walk in it. Rest in it. It is your peace. It's what anchors us. And then go and walk in his truth. His truth will guide us. It will lead us in right steps. It will lead us into the purpose that he has for us. It will lead us into the plan that he has for us. Do not waste another day choosing to not walk in the truth of his word. Don't miss a single day. He's got an adventure he wants to take you on. He wants to use you to change this place. Walk in that truth as we leave. Let me pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. Jesus, we thank you that you came full of grace and full of truth. We thank you that grace is sufficient for us and that truth will guide us towards you. So we pray that you would make us a people of grace and truth. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Seniors, we'll see you guys upstairs at Senior Wednesday. Love you, CA students. Have a great night.
inside of my chest, where I opened up my heart. So cold and afraid to take a chance, when every chance left its mark. So numb and comfortable, naming all my demons. I was used to feeling low, and I stopped believing I was worthy to be loved by anyone, and closed the door for good. But that was all before you. I guess it only takes one time to change your mind. I guess it only takes one time to get it right. I'd almost given up on everything this time, but that was all before you.
Take me back where the water flows from your throne. Pour it out like I've never known.